Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back to Smash Pod. This is part two. If you want to hear part one, why not go back and listen to that? In the meantime, here's part two. I hope you enjoy. I really do.
Smash Pod Royale.
But in the evening, McNee and Moore decide they're going to go and have a little sneak around the stables.
Yeah.
Because this house belonged to an old French duke who believed he was going to be reincarnated as a horse.
Which, by the way, true story.
Yeah.
I looked it up where they filmed. That there was a nutter who thought he was going to be reincarnated as a horse. So he thought, I want nice stables when I come back as a horse. Mm. So he was assuming he's going to be reincarnated as a horse who also still owned that property somehow. Mm.
He'd be like, I want to see that as a TV show.
Yeah.
My dad is a horse.
Lord Ed.
And he'd have a little top hat.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, you come back as a horse, you don't get treated very well, do you?
No. Especially if nobody knows. Because how is a horse going to go, listen, I can't really prove this, but this is my house?
Yeah, Morse code. Horse code.
There it is.
Yeah.
There's your name.
Two taps for yes, one tap for no.
Multiple taps for, I've got a deed.
Mm-hmm.
I've got right of property. This is my solicitor. A goat.
Yep. Called Billy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's good. He's the best goat lawyer.
Yes.
You're going to find.
Yeah.
So this was a property built by a lord who thought he was going to be
reincarnated as a
horse. Fine.
Fine. It's a good detail.
Yeah.
So they go to sneak around in that, and they're wearing these little tracksuits, which I'm fascinated with, because they're those kind of like plush, velvety tracksuits that old people had when they did aerobics.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I like that. And it kind of looks like they've turned up at a disco to pick up their daughter.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Is Tracy here?
Is I'm her grandfather. And this is my friend.
Just a friend?
He's my lover. All right, it's a lot of information. She's in the... Yeah, I'll get it.
Why did you ask if he was just a friend?
I was just curious.
There's nothing wrong with it, it's fine.
We'll be in the Volvo.
Stop crying.
Is that Wham I can hear? I know all about them.
There's a sound effect. It's an onomatopoeia.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know all the youth words. Yep. Onomatopoeia, Wham.
I have all the records of onomatopoeia in my garage. Oh, dear. So they go sneaking around and they find that there's like a hidden, inside one of the stables, there's a platform that goes underground.
Mm-hmm.
And in there is a lab, Mortner's lab.
Yeah.
And they find loads of test tubes with
chips
in them. Not oven chips,
no,
but
microchips. Yeah.
And they realise that the Pegasus is being injected, and it's possibly in the...
arse.
In the arse. But then Zorin's baddies turn up, and they're dressed like bookies.
Yes,
which
are.
I love as their uniform. Crystal Walken's like, we're going to get them to dress as... what's it called when you're a bookie on the turf accountant?
Turf accountant, yeah.
Yeah, they're turf accountants. They've even got little binoculars for no reason.
No. Oh, are they supposed to be undercover as horse trainers?
I guess so.
At night when nobody's looking.
Looking. When they're running around in tracksuits.
I quite like this fight scene that they have.
Yeah.
Because it ends in with a visual gag of him in the box, crunchy, and he gets his eyes taped over.
And one of them's Big Ron.
Now, who is Big Ron?
He was in EastEnders for years.
I have not seen EastEnders.
Right. Have you seen the Comic Strip Presents?
I have not.
You've not seen Five Go Mad in Dorset?
I have seen that.
Right, he's one of the guys in that says, blah, 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 secret plans. One of them. He was just like a renter heavy. He was on telly.
Was he a regular on EastEnders?
Yeah, he had a market stall. He never had any lines, but he'd be like, I'm just going to the cafe with Den. Ron, watch the stall, will you? Yeah, no worries.
That's so you'd have one line, which is, yeah, watch the stall.
And he'd be in the background, and people always say, hello, big, hello, Ron, all that sort of thing, yeah.
But you don't get paid any extra for that, do you?
And then he died of AIDS.
Is that true?
No, it's not true.
What an episode.
I mean, in EastEnders, not in real life.
It's the Christmas episode, probably. Yeah.
I've got in my hand a piece of paper that says, big Ron has got AIDS. No one's going to that stall anymore.
Smashes a Christmas tree up.
Oh, that's one of the funniest moments in telly, isn't it? When Arthur has his meltdown.
I've only seen the gif.
Oh, right. It's really funny because I appreciate it might be really good acting, but it's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I without context, because like I say, just the gif for me.
He was stealing the Christmas club money.
Right.
And then all the chickens came home to roost and everyone found out.
Oh, what a prick.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, so they have that big fight, and then they realise, well, we've got to get back because everyone knows we're out of the house now. Because at this point, Christopher Walken's having white guy karate lessons with Chris Jones. And he gets a phone call, and it's almost like that bit in Black Dynamite. Have you seen Black Dynamite?
No.
Oh, it's a brilliant parody of blaxploitation films. And he's fighting all these ninjas, and his phone rings in his room, and he picks it up, and he says,
Who the hell is interrupting my kung fu? Who the hell is this?
Black Dynamite? It's your Aunt Billy.
Now, Aunt Billy, how many times I told you not to call here and interrupt my kung fu?
And it's like that with Zorin. He's like,
yeah.
You know, and they say, you know, Bond's not in his room, and something's going on in one of the stables. So they go to Bond's room post-haste, and he's not in there. And then there's this really weird bit where they peer into Mayday's room, and Bond's in bed.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, Mayday, I thought you'd never come or something. And Walken gives that look like, go on, have a go.
Well, he does that. He does some very weird face acting in this.
He does.
It doesn't match the emotion he should have.
No.
Which are the decisions he makes.
It's not the first time he does it either.
Well, what else does he do?
Later on, when he's talking about the fire in the office, you were shot trying to escape, that bit. And then he starts giving these weird facial tics.
Yeah. That is the scene I was thinking. There's a bit where I think somebody, Roger Moore calls him a psychopath, and he does a face like a little pout.
That's right.
Out.
God, you have to be here, ladies and gentlemen. I did not know this treasure was buried here.
And but he does a thing like, I say, Mayday goes in.
Yeah.
And he just turns on his heel and goes, probably just go whack it off. Yeah. No. Yeah, I'm not whack off. Yeah, and then he goes, maybe he's got the room next door. He just, I'm going to listen to that guy grunt.
Oh, you know he's going to be squealing.
What, Roger?
Yeah. There's no way that it's going to be an erotic, sophisticated evening of sexual intercourse with Mayday.
I don't know.
She's a brute.
She was the first naked lady I ever saw.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've been
see.
Thoroughly disappointed since.
I think
also, IMDb trivia there. This is one of only two Bond films where you can see a pube.
Is it?
Yeah.
You see Mayday's pubes?
You see one of Mayday's pubes.
Just one.
You have to.
Is it on the carpet?
You have to be. It's in Roger's teeth later on.
God's sake.
So that, and you have apparently you have to pause it in just the right place. But there's this, and apparently there's a pube in Man with a Golden Gun. So check them out, kids.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I can't identify that pube.
It's Rogers.
Oh, God, is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
No, I don't know. So in the next morning, he's woken up by Jenny Flex. She was in it earlier. She's
Alison Doody.
Alison Doody, who was brilliant and only did this and a couple
Crusade,
of other bits.
Last Crusade, obviously. And then something else,
and then that was it.
Didn't she? She's just a presenter in Ireland now, isn't she?
Is she?
Yeah, I think she's still got some sort of media career.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I thought she was great.
Yeah, she's the new Gay Byrne.
Is she?
Yeah.
What, dead?
Well, no, I mean, she's... No.
I thought that was code on TV in Ireland.
Yeah.
I'm afraid she's the new Gay Byrne.
You know, she's gone Gay Byrne.
Yeah, the funeral's on Friday. Oh, that's good. I'm glad she's doing something.
And I'll be honest with you, she looks pretty much exactly the same.
Does she?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're honest.
Yeah. She's great.
No, she's lovely.
Shame about the name, though. How much of a career can you have if you've got Alison Doody? How did nobody say, maybe change?
Change it to what? Poo?
Well, just something. Let's get out of the entire shat in yourself area, you know.
Yeah. What would you change your name to?
Herche. Oh, what's the furthest away from poo?
We.
Yeah, Alison We.
But spelt French.
But the French spelling, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So she's kind of like bucket bouquet.
Yeah.
It's we, but it means we as in yes.
Yeah.
She says, chasing after the postman. Yeah. I don't care.
You're being weird. And also, everything still says Doody.
Yeah.
You haven't changed it at the post office
changed
yet?
Anything. Idiot. But he sees Zorin the next day, and Zorin says, I trust you slept well. And he says, a little restless, but I got off eventually.
Oh, God's sake. At the end, he would just go, I'm not going to bother doing the... It's not going to be double entendres anymore. I haven't got the strength for it. We're just going to... Did you sleep well? Yes. After I jizzed. And that's it. Couldn't give a shit anymore.
After I jizzed. But then Zorin gives him some small talk to distract, because he's got a sophisticated Commodore 64.
Oh, fucking yeah.
That can take pictures.
I love this. I love this. I'm going to find out who you are. Let me just boot up CFAX. Okay, 888 subtitles, 777 face recognition. You remember. And I don't know what he's logging onto.
Oh, it's his own computer.
He's got his own computer, which isn't plugged into anything.
No.
He's not getting, www. Like spiesallofthem.com.
But he does everything because people in the 80s obviously were scared of computers. So he does that classic acting thing where it's just like one button.
Yeah.
One button. Yeah. He does that face there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When the picture of Bond comes up, he does that.
He does a little face, like a little, oh, cheeky.
Because it says James Bond, license to kill, armed and dangerous.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be fun.
Because there's a music cue in this, a John Barry music cue that's called He's Dangerous, that plays in Bond's in action.
Right, okay.
And it's got a sexy electric guitar in it.
Oh, as if there's any other sort.
Exactly. But, so, it says he's extremely dangerous.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So he then says to him, we've got a horse you might like. I'm not doing an impression. That just came out weirdly. Because his cover is that he's coming to buy a horse.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a mad old auntie who's left him a stable.
Yeah.
So he says, why don't you come out and have a ride with me? So they go out on the ride, and then his men start attacking Bond.
Yeah.
And lifting up the things.
The things,
the jumps.
What were they built for?
Killing spies.
I know, but it's like, these weren't cheap, and I'll be honest, didn't think I'd get to use them. It's a big day for me. Wow.
But Bond's too clever for them and gets away.
But he ducks. What a fucking genius. Right? The horses who were chasing him, who you assume would have been trained on this and done the health and safety. Okay, just so you know, when you're chasing them, I'm going to be changing the levels on the thing. Keep an eye on that. And they're like, oh, fucking forgot about it. Bonk. But Roger Moore's like, oh, duck. Right? And he gets away with it. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it is bullshit. But he runs off because he sent Tibbet away to
alert
the authorities and get the car washed. But he actually gets the car washed.
Yeah.
I think he was saying get the car washed in case anyone was listening.
Yeah.
But the fucking idiot's gone to the car wash.
Also, so there's a bit where he's at the gate and Mayday's there.
Yeah.
And he goes to open the gate himself, turns around, Mayday's gone.
Yeah.
First of all, he looks around, he goes, well, she's in the car, mate. Also, and even if he hadn't noticed at the point, how big does a car have to be to not notice that Grace Jones is in it?
Exactly. You'd have to have like a big rig.
You'd have to be. I mean, it's like she's in the boot. She's in the back seat.
In the back seat, lying down. How do you not notice Grace Jones?
And she seems like a heavy breather as well.
Yeah, I bet she was cross back
then.
Yeah. But he gets murdered.
Yeah.
And then when they catch up with Bond, he says to them, "Killing Tibbet was a mistake." And then Wilkins says, "I'm about to make the same mistake again." Well, you're going to kill him again?
Yeah. And he, well, but it's, Oh, yeah.
And then knock Bond out and put him in the back seat of the car with Tibbet and put the car in
just
the water.
Just fucking shoot him.
Yeah.
With your butterfly drowning bullshit.
Yeah.
Just put a gun to Sam Kant's head and shoot him. You're wasting time.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's the famous scene that is what I, in fact, this is what I remember. I remember this scene very much from childhood because I thought, I'm going to remember that because if I ever drown in a car, I'll know how to stop myself. Mm. And I know that you can't because you explode or something if you try sucking air out of a tyre.
Apparently, yeah. Well, apparently there's not enough air that comes out anyway.
Oh, is there not?
No, so you would drown.
Crying out loud. Also, yeah. I remember seeing the making of, and just before they put him in the water, they had to put on a special, they had to spray a stuff on Roger Moore's head for that scene to make sure that it didn't just leave.
What? His head?
His hair.
Oh, hair.
Yeah.
Right.
They had to, like, glue his hair. I mean, he had... was it a wig? It was a wig at that point, wasn't it?
It looks like a wig. Or a hair piece.
But it was fairly well nailed on.
There's a big nail sticking out in the middle of his head.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember using a kid going, why has he let them show that on the making of?
I guess he didn't give a shit.
He had 110 million quid.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
What? That was his net worth?
That was his net worth at the time of death.
Wow.
So, and I think he was doing more work then than he was. So it's not like he's made that money since. That was he was loaded then.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
If you're a nice guy, nice things happen.
He knew he shouldn't have done this one as well.
Yeah. He said so many times he shouldn't have done it.
And at the point when you're on the film set and somebody's having to glue your hair on, you go, maybe it's time to call it a day. But then you're halfway through then.
He waits for May Day and everybody to drive off after they're sufficiently convinced that he's dead. And then we get the scene where Zorin goes to see the Russians.
Yes. Oh, I have one quick question about the... just because they knock him out and put him in the car.
Yeah.
Scarpine, who's the other henchman, knocks Bond out by hitting him between the shoulder blades.
Yeah.
Which I've seen in films before. And it wasn't until I was watching it yesterday that I went, I don't think that would work.
No, I think you just get a really bad
You just go, ow!
Yeah.
Get in the car. Fuck off.
I'll do it again.
All right, I'll get in the car then. You're a knob.
See, this is Roger's film where he doesn't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a fucking knob, mate.
You a fucking dick. Ow. I got sciatica. I'm 58. But I'm just wondering, because that is a trope, and I didn't question it until yesterday. Yeah. I don't think that works. But if there's any doctors listening, please get in touch. Can you be knocked out by me and hit between the shoulder blades?
Oh, also, Zorin says to him just before they put him in the car, when Bond says, he basically says, if anything happens to me, the MI6 will come after you. And Zorin says, they're more likely to try and cover up your embarrassing incompetence. And then Bond goes, don't count on it. Which I don't think sounds like what he thinks it sounds like.
Which is, they've cleaned up my shit before.
Yeah.
I fuck up. Monthly. I'm still here, mate. So they're coming for me. Okay. See.
Wow. But then we get the scene where Zorin and Grace Jones go and see the Russians.
Yeah.
Our friend Gogol and one of the henchmen played by Dolph Lundgren.
Which I didn't realise until yesterday.
And who was he dating at the time?
Grace Jones.
Yes.
I knew he was in it, but I never knew where he was.
I bet his back was fucking knackered, didn't he?
Oh, God, he's a weak man at that point.
Roger Moore tells a story that his next dressing room to him was Grace Jones and Dolph Lundgren.
Right.
When they were doing this film. He said they played loud music all the time, and he had to go and tell them to turn it down.
I can totally believe that.
I absolutely love that. I want them to do a, like, Urban Myths show about that. Roger Moore's dressing room. Anyone's listening, please do not get in touch with me.
Just talk to a producer. We want to make this show.
Yeah. I'll come on board as an exec.
Yeah. I'm assuming. That's what the money is.
Yeah.
The thing about that scene where Dolph Lundgren is in it, he is genuine. He's never even in focus, but he's actually quite menacing and he's perfect for the part. And then the actual other KGB agent who's not Gogol is, he just looks like somebody's dad who's turned up.
Yeah.
He was quite famous. Did you know he was a celebrity?
No.
He was a pop singer who went by the name of Lee Grant in New Zealand. He was like a teeny pop singer in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
Moved to England thinking he would be famous there. Mm. Had no success. Ended up acting.
Wow.
He did this in Brushstrokes.
Brushstrokes?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, this, yeah, but Brushstrokes.
Well, he was just doing what he could.
I mean, I'm more impressed with Brushstrokes.
Yeah, I do like him in this, though. I think he's got a great scene later on when he comes back on that rig.
Yes. Nice, good.
But he doesn't look KGB, whereas Dolph Lundgren is there, who looked KGB as fuck.
Oh, he looked great, didn't he, Dolph
Yeah,
Lundgren?
He really does.
And there's that famous story where Stallone cast him as Drago, obviously, because he looks fucking scary. And then the producers of the He-Man film, I think somehow, got talking to Stallone one day, and he said, oh, who have you cast? And they said, Lundgren. He said, you haven't given him any lines, have you? They're like, yeah. But, oh, dear.
Did you do a test screening?
No. We watched Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah.
When he just says, I must break you.
Nails that line, though.
Yes, he's great in Rocky IV.
Yeah, you can't carry a film for an hour and a half saying it, though, can you?
He nearly killed Stallone in that.
I heard that. Yeah.
His heart got fucked.
Yeah.
With a punch.
Yeah. Charming man.
Oh, absolutely. His full name, of course, is Dolphin Lundgren.
Dolphin?
No, not really. Made up. Oh, this is my favourite bit. After this, Zorin is on his airship,
mm-hmm.
and we get the repeat of the scene from Goldfinger, where if any of you want to leave, you can, and one says, oh, I will leave, thank you, and they drop him out of the airship. But then they're flying over Golden Gate Bridge. I think it's Golden Gate Bridge, yeah. And Mayday says...
No, it's the Seven.
Yeah, it's the River Seven, yeah. What? Port Talbot.
Yeah.
They're flying over Golden Gate Bridge, and Mayday says, what of you? And Zorin goes, to a kill.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
I remember as a child watching this and going, I remember intently going, when I grow up, I'll know what the fuck that means.
Mm.
And I still don't.
No, I still don't. I don't understand how that could possibly make any sense, apart from if you know the film's called View to a Kill.
Yeah.
She should say, what a view, and she should go, yes, it is.
Or, of a kill would work. Like a business, like a kill with a deal, that would work, but to a kill... No, it doesn't make sense.
No.
But it's quite a cool title, so you've got to jam it in somehow.
It's a good title.
Yeah.
And the song's good as well. We forgot to mention the song.
Yeah.
I bloody love this song.
Yeah. The video's shit.
Yeah. Bon. Simon Le Bon.
Oh, God. Just got a shiver up my spine.
Yeah,
that's bad.
And with the little camera that's floating around them all the time.
Yeah.
That looks really awful.
It's naff as hell.
Yeah.
But the song's good. It was probably my favourite one for a long time.
Oh, yeah. But in their defence, I think Simon Le Bon's perfectly aware of how shit it is, because when he says, Bon, Simon Le Bon, he's not being very serious.
Well, no.
Was this before or after he got trapped on a yacht?
When did Simon Le Bon get trapped on a yacht?
Didn't he get, lost at sea on a yacht?
I have almost no Simon Le Bon factoids.
I think that's my only one.
Was he on his own?
Yes, I think so. And he had to be rescued.
And he ate the other members.
He ate the other members. Yeah. Duran Duran's from Star Trek, you know.
I do know that.
Yeah. Is this Spock's mum?
So, no, it's not his mum. Duran Duran is... because his mum's Amanda.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember.
Oh, she's human, isn't she?
She's human, yeah. Duran Duran is... I don't know what that is.
Is it like a Vulcan elder, maybe?
It's probably, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's a priestess. Oh, no, wait, that's T'Pau.
That's Rio.
Oh, fuck. Again, please call in.
Yeah. And the Klingon proverb, hungry like a wolf.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, that does feel like...
It
must be one. Yeah.
Anyway. So Bond goes to San Francisco and he meets the Chinese detective.
Yeah. I have a question.
Oh, yeah.
So this is Chuck Lee, the CIA guy. His current mission is to find out everything he can about Zorin's plan to destroy Silicon Valley.
That's right.
He's undercover as a waiter in a clam chowder cafe down by the docks.
Yes.
Help. Explain that one.
Why? Why is he undercover as a waiter?
Yes.
I don't know.
Why? Because I imagine being in the office, we've got a big case for you, boy. Big case, beer. It's just because the Welsh CIA.
The Welsh CIA, yeah.
Big case. Silicon Valley, something's fucking up. Don't know what. We reckon it's Zorin. What we are going to do, right? I guess this is exciting. It is exciting. It's a big job for you, boy. Right, so let me ask you a question. Do you have your own tabard? What? Right. What we are doing is we have set you up in... Do you know what clam chowder is? It's sort of chunky soup. We're going to set you up as a waiter there and just listen out for stuff. Right, is this anywhere near? Not really, no. Is Zorin a regular? Don't know. Wouldn't have thought so. But just keep an eye, generally.
There's a really big pair of binoculars.
Yeah, a really big pair of binoculars. Just ask fishermen, what have you, sell chunky soup, and just call us if you hear anything.
To be fair.
Yes.
To be fair, it turns out that Zorin's doing something which is disrupting fishermen. With his pipeline.
Which is luck.
Yeah,
it is. It's blind luck.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a pipeline where he's pumping seawater into oil pipelines to check the integrity. So Bond hearing, upon hearing this, and we also hear that Carl Mortner used to experiment with making, trying to make the perfect superhuman child.
Yeah.
Like old Martin Bormann did.
Yeah.
During the old...
Old Martin Bormann.
World War II, as the French would call it. Old Marty Bormann.
Marty Bormann.
I remember old...
Where is he these days? You don't see Marty around no more, do you?
He just calls himself a non-stop dancer. He went to Argentina, didn't he?
Well, nobody knows. He went missing.
They think they found his body, didn't they? But some people suspect that he went to Argentina.
Well, what have they found? They just found a body. They found a body, and he had a T-shirt that said, "I'm Martin Bormann."
That's right. Or "I heart Martin Bormann."
"I heart Martin Bormann. If found, please return a pub," it said, or "beer keller." And so they didn't ask any more questions.
My wife went to Nazi Germany, and all I got was this Martin Bormann T-shirt. and persecutors.
And persecutors, yeah, they were a hell of a time.
Bormann went to... Well, I don't know.
Nobody knows where Martin Bormann went.
No,
Jack Higgins wrote a book about it.
He did, didn't he?
Called Thunder Point.
Thunder Point.
Which is... anyway, it doesn't matter.
Was that before PowerPoint?
Probably after PowerPoint. It was a submarine thriller and about somebody finds evidence that Martin Bormann went to Argentina and it's spies trying to find him. Doesn't matter. Cut it out.
How come they could... Like, Ronnie Biggs went to Brazil.
Yeah.
And people were able... No, I don't know where I'm going with this. Forget it. So Bond, in the evening, decides to go and have a look at Zorin's pipeline. And I don't mean his genitals. And when he gets there, he already finds that some KGB guys are sniffing about.
Yeah.
And one of them gets caught.
Yeah.
But not...
He got caught in the pipeline, didn't he?
He got caught in the pipeline. See what gives me the yawn. No, because they record what Zorin's going to do on a little... Walkman that you used to get in the 80s that could go underwater.
Yeah.
The yellow one.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
I think it was called a sports Walkman.
Yeah.
And water sports, maybe. And
that's why it's yellow, like piss.
But Fiona Fullerton's one of them, but she manages to hide. But the other one gets caught and put into the threshing machine in the pipeline.
Which is one of my favourite bits of the movie, because it's in a film that is generally quite unimaginative and, like I say, workmanlike. There is that lovely detail where they chuck him in the pipe and they cut to the pressure gauge because he's like chunks. And he goes, that's actually a really gross little detail.
Yeah.
That's quite nice.
It reminds me a bit of Jaws 3.
Yes.
There's a bit in Jaws 3 where someone has to go into a pipeline and gets caught like that. Or gets eaten by the shark. One of the two.
Oh, yeah.
Simon McCorkendale's Cockney... Or is it Simon Cork? Oh, fuck it, who cares? So, Bond catches Fiona Fullerton at the seafront.
Right.
On the beach.
Yeah.
And they go back to...
oh, God, a hot bar fuck parlor.
They do. They go to... Well, she's called Pola Ivanova.
Right.
And they go to a hot tub.
I bet is that dirty in Russian, do we reckon?
I reckon. Probably means fuck biscuits or something. But they go to a hot tub to relax. Because obviously, after... witnessing one of your comrades
being chopped up.
You're going to get in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And this is where you get some lovely, I don't know, it must be a body double of Rog. Just sort of tiptoeing, mincing about and getting in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And again, hair's not getting wet.
Yeah.
Very careful. Can't risk it that wet.
It'll rust the needle that's keeping it on.
It'll turn the pool brown, won't it? But that's when she says, you know, they're listening to this music that's kind of like, now that's what I call oriental music.
Yeah.
Bing, bong, bing. It's like that bit in... Team America, where they do the North Korean musical at the end, and it's just going ping pong pang ping pong. It's that going on in the background. But then he changes the tape, and she says, "The bubbles tickle my." And he puts on the classical, and she goes, "Tchaikovsky," which is a funny joke.
It's not bad, isn't it? It feels a little on the buses as well, but it's. But it's they're trying. And also, what else is she in? Was she in a bunch of stuff in the '80s?
I think I think she was in like Alice in Wonderland.
Oh,
as Alice,
The Jonathan Miller one.
No, that was the '60s one, wasn't it? This is one from the early '80s.
Oh. Isn't she about 42?
What at this point?
Yeah.
No, she's probably mid-20s, I'd imagine.
Is she?
She does look older though.
She does.
Yeah. But she was quite a sort of glamour, sexy lady that everyone
she's
fancied.
Lovely.
At that point.
She's good.
Yeah.
It's an unnecessary scene.
Oh, definitely. It's only there, seems to be, for comic effect, because he gets in the shower. Obviously, after having a hot tub, you have to have a shower.
Yeah.
And she takes the tape that she's recorded of Zorin and runs off with the goggles waiting for her outside. And they zoom off in the car. But Roger had already swapped them. So she puts on the tape, ready to listen to it in the car stereo, and you get ping, pong, pang, ping, pong.
And it is the biggest mugging performances from the two of them.
Triple takes,
it's,
pretty much.
Oh, God, yeah. It's like Dude, Where's My Car level of acting there. It's so odd.
I quite like it.
It's fine. Mm. But also, there's a thing in that. Why is Gogol? He's a general in the KGB. Why is he hanging around San Francisco picking birds up? Wait, no, just answer me on question then.
You have, yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
But Rog, ever the, Bob, I guess because of his age, he hears Zorin on this tape talking about main strike in 2 days. So he writes down on a notepad, main strike, question mark. Question mark seems superfluous, doesn't it, really? Yeah.
Just write it down. I won't know what it is.
It's like the film Memento.
Yeah, if I don't write down what it is, my Roger Moore impression not as good as my Walker.
Pretty good, though.
It's not. Yeah. If I don't write it down, I forget what this is. Yeah. I'll be like, I've got to go to shop to pick up my main strike. I don't even know what it is.
It's like a long wait.
Long wait.
Tartan paint.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Skyhook.
I'm looking for Farrow and Ball, main strike.
Oh, all right. So, Bond then goes to see... he goes to see the San Francisco Town Hall man.
Yeah.
And says his name is James Stock from the London Financial Times. And he's asking about Zorin in general. And then he says, just one more question. One thing my readers would love to know is why are they putting seawater in the pipes? I thought, is the Financial Times really going to be interested in that?
It's the sort of thing you'd put in, but I don't think anyone's going to finish reading the article going, you know what? They haven't fucking mentioned the seawater in the pipes at all. Mm-hmm. This paper's gone to shit.
Yes. Where are the tits? And then the guy's like, that's an easy answer. It's to test the integrity of the pipeline.
Thing is, I think he believes it.
Yeah.
But he is like a geologist as well, presumably. He would know that's bullshit. Yeah. Although, with that said, later on, Stacey Sutton says, it's very dangerous to do that. Doesn't explain why.
Doesn't she say it could cause earthquakes?
Yeah, she says that. Mm. How?
And she's got a, what's it called? You know where you can test earthquake?
Geiger count. Richter scale, yeah.
Presumably comes in handy after making love.
Yeah, that was a one.
It's a less than a one.
He's so... You're very old.
Well... Well, he goes to her house. Rather than knocking on the front door, he decides to sneak into her bedroom and have a quick look at her having a shower.
Yeah.
I just knock on the front door.
Yeah.
Say, I'm James Stock from the Financial Times. Because he keeps telling her his name is James Stock from the Financial Times.
Yeah.
She comes out with a shotgun, as you rightly would if a 56-year-old man wandered into your bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
But then, luckily, just then, before Bond can possibly explain why he's doing that, they're ambushed by three or four burly
men. Which is lucky, because if the bad guys hadn't turned up, she'd have shot him, quite rightly.
Well, he wouldn't have died, though, because she says that in the bullets it's just rock salt.
It'd have killed him. He's 58.
The noise would have killed him.
Yeah.
Or at least shat himself.
Yeah. I'm from the Financial... It doesn't matter. I'll find my own way out.
I've disgraced myself. So Bond's shoes in the way. One of them's got the worst wig on I've ever seen. Looks like Harpo Marx.
He's got
this curly wig on. So he's obviously a stuntman they've used before and they want to disguise it.
Yeah, nobody will see through this.
Yeah. So, to calm things down, Bond decides to make her some dinner. And he says, opening the oven, et voila, quiche de cabernet. Made her a quiche.
Yeah, it's a quiche, isn't it?
She says, what is it?
And he says, it's an omelette.
It's an omelette. It's supposed to be funny and she laughs. Don't know.
Is that supposed to be funny?
I think so, because she laughs.
But I thought the joke was he's given a posh word to an omelette.
Maybe so.
But it's not an omelette.
It's not an omelette.
It's got a crust.
Yeah, it's a quiche. It looks shit as well.
It does. Yeah. I mean, if you'd hammered it together from a bunch of shit in the oven, because she had olives from somewhere,
yeah.
It's fine. But are we supposed to be impressed by that?
I think we are.
Well, it's a quiche.
Do you think Stacey isn't done much justice in this film? They've written her as a complete fucking idiot.
She's a pretty bad, genuinely, considering this is his last film, she's one of the worst Bond girls.
Mm.
And it's underwritten, and it's very one-note, and she's not great in it, I don't think, but she's not given that much to do.
No.
And she doesn't even turn up till 40 minutes from the end, really.
Not really.
She's a bit in France, but then you don't see her for ages.
And she spends the rest of the film screaming and needing to be rescued.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't imagine, because the thing is, with Octopussy was the one before, wasn't it?
Yes.
You kind of believe, if that had been the last one, you could imagine that he would have retired, and him and Octopussy might have worked out. Because they were closer in age,
yes.
15 years or something.
Yeah.
But this is just, it just ends on this slightly damp squib, meaningless relationship.
Yeah. Not going anywhere, is it?
No.
Just a one-night thing, I reckon.
And she's not a very engaging character.
No,
she's just that, yeah, she's just a damsel in distress, like you don't
really
get.
Well, she's supposed to be super intelligent, but it doesn't get played that way.
Yeah, anyone can have an Apple Mac.
She has got an Apple Mac. Yeah, I wonder if they got any money for that. They get information from Chuck Lee, and they decide to go and look in Lowe's office. He's the guy from the town hall for some information. And when they get there, he's dead. And Zorin bursts in, and this is when he does his weird face thing.
Yeah.
When Bond points out that he might be a Nazi super child. And he's like,
I like that bit. That's my favorite. Because the thing is, he throws a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah.
And anyone else just like, oh, check the Molotov cocktail, just get it there, right? Any actor would just chuck it. But he does a thing with his arms. He just, his whole body chucks this. He's fucking brilliant in it.
It is.
Which is interesting because he had won an Oscar by this point, hadn't he?
Yeah,
Deer Hunter. A proper actor. He was respected. Other than what he adds to it, it's not much of a part.
No.
There's no real backstory.
No.
He's not as interesting as a Bond villain because he's like, here's a thing he wants to do. There's no real reason. He's just destructive. And then Bond chucks you off a thing.
Mm.
He milks it for everything it's worth. But on the page, because David Bowie was like, there's nothing in this to play. It's not an interesting part. And Christopher Walken, I mean, there's still not much more in it. They hadn't written any more for him. But he, oh my God, because he's one of the most memorable villains.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And it's all because he uses every inch of his body to play this lunatic.
Yeah.
And that is my favourite scene because he does a bit of everything. That scene is like a best of his mental performance.
And he also, I like the way that he kind of explains what's going to happen. He says, you shot him while you were trying to escape. There's a fire to cover up your crime. And then they shot them in the lift.
Yeah. Again, just shoot them first just to be on the safe side.
And there's a very long, boring bit where he rescues her and they climb out of the top and then come down the fireman's ladder.
Another film pet peeve there. Mm. When they're in the lift, there are reflections of fire in the lift, even though there's no fire in the lift.
No,
it's just
not
to remind the audience that there's a fire outside.
Yeah.
Just a cheap trick there that annoys me.
It's movie magic, Dan.
It's John Glenn lazy.
Yeah.
New phrase.
John Glenn lazy. It's like Camp Town races. So they come down and then they're met with a policeman who says, and this is my favourite bit, there's a man been killed. Is this your gun? And Bond goes, yes, thank you. And goes to take it back.
Oh, God.
And then he says, wait a minute, sir. I am James Bond, Secret Service, British Intelligence. And she says, oh, I thought he was James Stock.
And also, James Bond goes, ask Chuck Lee. He's with the CIA. He goes, we found his body in Chinatown.
Yeah. Like,
are you aware of every case going on in San Francisco tonight, mate?
Also, why put him in Chinatown? That just seems like
just
clichéd.
Yeah, it does.
Put him in Italian town.
Italian town.
Italian town. Little Italy.
Little Italy.
Italian town, I call it that.
We found him in... would make more sense.
We found him in Jamaica Avenue.
We found him in shitty Little Wales.
Why isn't there a Little Wales in America?
There's lots of them.
Are there?
There's just outside Milwaukee, there's a town called Wales, and there's a flag. There's the Welsh flag is the welcome to town sign, and it says welcome to Wales, and it says Croeso i Gymru in Welsh as well.
No.
There's a lot of, around there, there's a lot of, where miners went, essentially, where there was a lot of coal mining, that's where all the Welsh people went, so they're all very Welsh around there. Yeah.
Have you ever been?
I haven't, I've never been to that part. I want to go.
You should pitch this as some sort of TV series.
I'd love to do a thing where we just take a bunch of comics, Welsh comics, and go, right, let's see if our shit works here. Like, who knows Neath? Neath, it's in the Swansea Valley, nothing. Start the car, lads.
Look, Frankie Boyle's got a show where he's going around Scotland. You could do that where you're going around all the Welsh bits in the world. There's probably a Welsh bit in Thailand because, you know, they all go there. There might be a Welsh bit in, like, Nambia.
There might be.
Yeah.
You know what? We don't like that hot a climate.
No, it's true.
We're in the cold bit. I mean, it's practically Canada. That's what we're looking for.
Are there Welshmen in Canada?
Yeah. Anywhere there was agriculture and rural, sort of, basically, if anything needed lifting or digging out, we were there.
Well, that's good to know. Oh, well, yeah, we found Chuck Lee in Welsh Town.
Yeah.
With a leak up his arsehole. Someone sending a message to the Welsh Mafia.
That's a big spring onion.
Is there a Welsh Mafia?
Yeah.
What are they called?
Taffia.
The Taffia?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. I think I saw like the Yaki Nostra.
To be fair, the Welsh, they just call their family names. It's like the actual mafia way.
Right.
So it's just
so like the Richardsons or the Crays.
Yeah, I'm not going to say any names because they really are.
All right. The Joneses.
The Italians decided to get together and sort of, it's almost a trade union, the mafia. Mm. This is very much like people beating the shit out of each other in the street.
There's a lot of Italian.
A lot of Italians, yeah.
In Wales, aren't
they? Yeah, but they're not mobsters. They started ice cream parlours.
Yeah.
Bloody good ones.
Yeah. But you also get this line here, which made me laugh as an eight-year-old in the cinema, when he says, my name is James Bond, and I work for British Intelligence. And the policeman says, yeah, and I'm Dick Tracy.
Yes.
And then he squirts him with water.
Yes.
He steals a fire engine.
Yes.
And goes over a bridge.
Yeah. This is one of those ones, like the old, like they thought, we'll figure out why later, but I would like him to be dragged along on a ladder of a thing, and he'll jump over a bridge. Like, we'll figure out why later.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's his last big action scene, this, really, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Apart from the hanging off the air.
Yeah.
The Zeppelin.
Yeah. But that was, there's a pathetic shot of that later on. But this is his first out on location, holding on to something, like proper last big stunt scene.
I also quite like it when James Bond is in America.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
He doesn't really go anymore.
It's a bit of fish out of water, Crocodile Dundee type thing.
Yeah.
I think they should play with that more because he's a stiff ass Brit.
Yeah, and I mean, his experiences in America have got one of my all-time favourite lines from a movie, not this one, but Secret Agent on Whose Side is my favourite.
Yeah.
No, but he hasn't been to America in decades, has he?
No. Oh. I think this is the last time.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty sure of that. Yeah, it was. It's Live and Let Die in this. That's it.
Mm.
Anyway, so him and Stacey drive the fire engine to Main Strike, which we now know is a mine.
Yeah.
Well, Main Strike's going to happen there. And the mine takes place in a place called Amberley in Sussex, near where I live. And I've been there, and the mine carts are still there with the Zorin logos on them.
Oh, wow!
Yes, it's amazing. And you can go to the entrance where Grace Jones comes out later on that little cart. You can actually walk up to it and look down. There's nothing in there. But it's amazing. It's like going to a little bit of Bond history.
Is it just like private land?
No, it's a working museum.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
For mining, not Bond, presumably.
Yeah, it used to be a mine, and now it's just like a museum with stuff where you can wander around and look at. But they're very proud of the fact that Bond shot there, and all the mine carts are all still lined up with the Zorin logos on them. They look like it was made yesterday.
That's brilliant.
Amazing.
Do they keep them up? I mean, they must have.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
they're a bit rusty here and there.
Where is Amberley? Where is.
It's just near Sussex, near where I was, sort of Worthing area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I get a chance, I want to see that.
You should. It's good. It's good fun. The kids will love it.
They don't like Bond. In fact, I watched this with one of my kids yesterday, and she was terrified.
Really? Of what?
I don't know. I kept saying, which bit is scarier? I think, I don't think you're scared.
Is it Roger?
Yeah, probably.
Is she scared of LP?
What's wrong with his neck?
Yeah. Oh. But they drive to the mine. They drive up there with a fire engine, and then they nick a Zorin truck and drive in.
Yeah.
And one of the best bits is where they get out of the car. She's got her high heels on. And a man notices it's a woman, and Rod does an American accent.
Okay. Do you know what? I just realised how depressing it is. This is the last vehicle he drives in a Bond movie.
Yes.
Of all the cars he's had. In fact, even when he gets his own car to rent, he's got a Ford Granada. That's what he drives up to Stacey Sutton's office.
He does.
He's had a Lotus Esprit, and now he's got this crappy little truck in Sussex.
This film could have done with a sexy car, couldn't it? A car that like goes underwater or...
Just a
miniaturizes, goes in Zorin's arse. He hasn't got.
Has he got any gadgets in this?
No, apart from the credit card reading.
Yeah, that's it.
Thing.
A sharper image.
Oh, and the glasses.
And the And the little scanner thing. But they're not the coolest ones he ever had.
No.
And the thing is, you know, the sharper image one that he uses to break in the window.
It
goes do 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 beep.
Yeah.
But you can just open a window with a regular sharper image one. You don't need a do-do-do beep.
Beverly Hills Cop 2 told me that.
Yes, exactly.
You just get the silver from the bubble gum, chewing gum, and sing the dating game theme as you do it. But yeah, so she steps out of the car and you can see her high heels. Everyone looks like, everyone's basically thinking, why is this woman here? And he says, in his American accent, women's lib, they're taking over the Teamsters.
I suppose he's coming down positively on the side of it. He's not saying like, fucking them in, innit? Who's with me? Lads, up top. Mm. He's just saying, look, they're taking over the Teamsters, right? It's progressive.
Yeah, let's embrace it.
Yeah.
But there's a good little in-joke here, because when they go in the hut to put on the uniforms so they can get out,
yeah,
they find two uniforms and put them on. And Stacey's one, when she comes out, it's like perfectly tailored to her body.
Yes.
And he just looks at her and goes, he says something like, it's good that you can find one that fits.
Yeah, it's got a bosom, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that authentic? I'm not sure.
Well, she's basically Zoolander at this point, isn't she? Because she's... I got the black lung pop.
She's good. She looks great.
But Zorin's plan at this point is he's put a bomb in the mine, which then the grand plan is he's going to blow up Silicon Valley, flood it. Well, he's going to blow up this flood of Silicon Valley, and then take over the microchip market.
Right.
Why not just buy Silicon Valley and take over the microchip market?
Also, this isn't how it works.
No.
Do they think there's a finite amount of microchips?
Yes, there is, yeah. It was three, I think. All in a shed.
I love when technology is misunderstood by screenwriters, and there's a big one. What are you going to do now? Build more? I'm being told they can build more. Okay, plan B. I don't know, I'm thinking maybe opening a coffee shop.
We have to flood all other coffee shops. You have to flood.
Yeah. And that's what I'm going to do. Goodbye, Costa.
But yeah, so they sneak in and there's this big conflict. But Zorin kills all his own men, starts drowning them, and then stands over them with an Uzi, just machine gunning all the survivors. Which for a Bond film is quite genocidic.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad. And that was the part Roger Moore had trouble with.
Right? Yeah.
And he
yeah.
said, I read him going, it wasn't a Bond film to really lot of linger on the brains and the guts and things like that. And it doesn't at all. I don't think even when he shoots people, there's any blood squibs.
No, there's no blood.
It sounds like a 58-year-old man going, where's all this violence coming from? In the old days, it was just me with a bunch of blacks in the jungle blowing up smack. I don't know what point. What's offensive about this? It's not a violent film.
No.
And especially, I don't think it was more. There's more disturbing things in the other films, I think.
No, absolutely. Especially License to Kill coming up.
He eats a goat's eyeball in the last one.
He does. Yeah, he gets sheep's head.
Yeah.
But Mayday finds that her two accomplices, so Jenny Flex and her other friend, have both been drowned.
Yeah.
And Mayday thinks, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, she turns all
the time.
She has
a change of heart.
Right, yeah.
And helps Bond get the bomb out, which goes on for fucking ages, by the way. Him being lowered in there. Meanwhile, Stacey comes wandering out of a hole and gets kidnapped by a Zeppelin.
Which?
How shit do you have to be to get kidnapped by a Zeppelin?
How deaf do you have to be? Like you're a Zeppelin coming up behind you going, what's that? Huh? Someone around here's got one of them, sounds like a lawnmower. Who's mowing a lawn around here? It's a mine. I don't know about this. It seems...
Yeah, she's taken. So Mayday and Bond are getting the bomb on this minecart. I think what their plan is just to get it outside and blow it up.
Yeah.
But it can't stop. I mean, someone has to constantly be on it to make it move.
Yeah.
So Mayday sacrifices herself. She says, get Zorin for me.
Yeah.
And then goes outside and blows up.
Yeah.
But just before she blows up, which often happens apparently, with shock, she turns into a mannequin. Apparently that happens.
Yeah.
If you notice in a lot of films when someone falls...
Casino, it happened, yeah.
Yeah, and someone falls out of a plane, they'll often turn into a floppy mannequin dummy.
This has got the worst mannequins. Oh, my God.
The bloke who fell out of the Zeppelin earlier, who was, I don't want to be past meeting.
Got fucked knees, he has.
Yeah, they're all wobbly.
Also, didn't they throw him out of... Isn't he above San Francisco when that happens?
Yeah.
Someone's going to go, did you see a guy fall out of that Zeppelin? Which Zeppelin? Which one was it? Well, that one,
yeah,
one that says Zorin on it. I'm going to call the police. It looked like a dummy to me. Nah, that's a good point. I'll probably leave it.
Yeah, probably they probably just fell out.
Bust his knees before you throw him out. That way, people think it's a dummy. I think it all through. Intuitive genius.
So Bond sees Stacey being kidnapped. She's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And he jumps onto the rope ladder, or the guide ropes.
Yeah.
Which is on a tent traditionally, I know. Yeah, but this is a Zeppelin, like a tent. And then they take him on a tour of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And make no effort to get rid of him.
No. And he smacks his balls on a television aerial.
Yeah.
In what looks like the set of Sesame Street while we're on it.
Yeah.
It looks fake as balls.
It does.
And that's his last visual gag about his nuts as well.
Yeah.
Because at this point, we can just sort of tick off, this is the last time he did this. It's the last time he did this. And then what happened? They get the Golden Gate.
He manages to get them tied onto the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, bit of luck.
So Zorin sends out his henchmen, who basically all instantly falls off and to his death.
Yeah.
So then Zorin goes out with an axe to sort him out.
Yeah.
And they've also crashed into the Golden Gate Bridge, so half of the Zeppelin's like exposed of the little thing.
That's right, yes.
And Morton has an amazing moment that happens to old people a lot, and sometimes when I'm really tired, he tries to get out of his seat and forgets he's got his seatbelt on. He goes, look, ah, fuck.
This would have never happened under the Führer.
But he's also got what everybody else at that time had. It's a big craze in the 80s, like SodaStream and Swing Ball.
Yeah.
He had loads of dynamite in the fridge.
Yeah, we had them.
In the fridge.
In the fridge.
And he thinks, I'll sort everything out. I'll just get some dynamite and throw them. You know, don't worry that we're in a hot air balloon thousands of feet above the air.
I'm going to say this.
The ground, even.
People have mocked this scene before. Hmm. If it had worked, he'd have been a fucking hero.
Yeah.
He's a clumsy old man. If he'd actually got to the door properly and chucked it and timed the explosion just right, people would be like, fucking hell.
But
you're
he would
a good
have,
boy.
The Zeppelin would have blown up as well, though.
No, he's far enough away. If he had timed it just right.
Okay.
I think it would have been probably, in fact, it would have blown up Roger Moore and probably pushed the Zeppelin into safety.
Yeah, with the
if
the,
it had
the
worked,
force. Yeah.
If it had worked, you would be like, this guy's the boss.
Sadly, it doesn't work.
No, I dropped it on the floor and he died.
Good Walken acting here, though, because when he's going to fall off the bridge, rather than looking all scared and everything, he gives that kind of laugh.
A maniacal laugh, yeah.
And then slips.
That's a lovely touch.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's one of the best villain deaths for that reason. Because even to his last second alive, he's still fucking mad.
Yeah.
I
wonder
that.
How much freedom he was given. Because he goes, okay, I'm going to laugh. Well, don't. We're looking for more of a sort of a, oh, no. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to laugh, chuckle, and then I'm going to leave so you can't shoot me again. I'm done with you.
But he falls to death, and then Dr. Mortner goes to chuck his dynamite but drops it.
Yeah.
And then the Zeppelin and all explodes.
Yeah.
And him and Stacey are left on top of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah. Do you think they did?
I mean, you would, wouldn't you? Go, listen, I know we've been in mortal danger, but I'm, frankly, the air's thin up here, and apparently I'm now finding that that's my thing.
I've got the right fucking
horn. I've got the horn. I'll show you a stick of dynamite. My penis.
That's what I know. That's what I thought.
Yes, it's where I keep my cum.
And then we get something that's a bit of a trope in Bond films, where the HQ don't know where he is.
Yeah.
So they go to Stacey's house and they put into action Q's sophisticated surveillance robot.
Yep.
And it trundles through the house and sees Bond having a shower with Stacey.
Yeah.
And Q.
Q watches. He looks annoyed that he's seen people having sex.
Yeah, he does.
It's easy to say that Q's a pervert because of his track record of inventions, but he genuinely seems pissed off when he actually ends up using his devices for what they would be used for, perversions.
Yes.
He's like, oh, he's having sex, oh, for God's sake.
But the last lines Roger Moore ever says as Bond are just perfect. Because they're in the shower and you can hear little small talk. And if you put the subtitles on, they all come up.
Right.
And one of them, you hear Bond say, I've dropped the soap.
No way.
Honestly. And then you hear her giggling. And his last ever line of James Bond, which could not be more fitting ever, is, oh. And I'm wondering if she's put something up his bum.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
That would be amazing if, just as the end of the thing, the last thing to sort of, the perfect ending would be a copy of that gun barrel shot, but through his arsehole. And it's just a hand jamming some Dove soap up there.
Oh. still, Imperial Leather.
Imperial Leather.
Yeah. It's a bit more classy than that. And that's the end of A View to a Kill.
And that is the end of Roger.
Yeah. Fitting way to go, though. Ooh.
Yeah. What do you think of this as his swan song, though?
I'm really pleased.
Yeah. Are you glad it finished there?
Yeah.
But?
No, I think he should have stopped at possibly Fure Eyes Only.
Yeah, but he didn't like that one, did he?
No.
Because that's not very Bondy either. No. I mean, that wasn't his Bond.
No. It was more of a Connery film, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't like Octopussy very much, but I think this is better than Octopussy.
But the thing about Octopussy, if it ended there, it has the ending with her where they're on the boat and you imagine that they could have had a life together. Also, All Time High, that song kind of, I listened to it yesterday, that feels like it's kind of the end. Mm. That's the story of the end of him. And then this feels like tacked on.
Yeah.
It is fun, and of its own thing, it's fun.
Mm.
But it's, I don't find it a very fitting ending for what would be, what, 15, nearly 15 years of him doing this.
He was the longest one until now.
Still though, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Of all the films we've done, this one I enjoyed.
Yes. All right. Well, we're at the point where I'm going to ask you some quick fire questions.
Yeah.
Dan Thomas, are you ready?
Yes.
In your opinion, what is the best Bond film?
Goldfinger.
Perfect. What's the worst Bond film?
Thunderball.
Really?
Yeah, I knew this was going to be controversial. That is the one that I generally am the most bored by.
The last third is really painful to watch.
Yeah. It's like, why is he underwater again? I'm not following any of this anymore.
I don't even know who he is.
No.
Couldn't tell you who he is. Can you give me your made-up Bond film title?
I've got an alternate title for this. Just The Last Roger.
The Last Roger. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bond is full of silly lady names, such as Holly Goodhead, Plenty O'Toole and Plenty Smallbone. Give me your best Bond lady name, please.
A friend of mine suggested Mrs. Tits.
I love that.
But, I mean, it's kind of basic. But I love that. That's like a Zen. Yeah, Mrs. Tits. I would also like to suggest two Welsh ones, which one would be Shani Flewog. Shani is a name.
Mm-hmm.
And Flewog is furry. And Shani Flewog, as it is just an unkept vagina. And the other one is Seren Adé. Seren is a Welsh name. Adé means the south. So star of the south. Basically, it's slang for bumhole.
So they could be So, Mrs. Tits?
Mrs. Tits.
She could be like the lead henchman.
Yeah.
And they could be her two...
Like Bambi and Thumper.
Exactly. Yeah. Which basically... So you'd have Tits, Fanny and Bumhole.
Yes.
That's the three angels of death in The Last Roger. Yeah. Okay. You are Q. Sorry about that. But what gadgets would you have made for Bond in this film if you had your way?
I think... not so much for Bond, it's for him. A robotic Q that can be the one that he sends to the sexual misconduct tribunal.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you can keep working.
Mm.
So a sex pest Q robot is what I would have built.
Yeah. Because it would be a tribunal, wouldn't there?
Oh, yeah. Many times over.
Or would you think they sweep it under the carpet, Savile-like?
I think it's a slap on the wrist. Because it's like, who else can do his job?
Because Q famously was buried in a gold coffin in concrete. Finally, who would you have as James Bond next, apart from Ewan Griffith?
In fact, that's interesting, actually. I was going to go Welsh as well.
Go on.
Part of me was thinking, Bond often is reflective of where we are in Britain, so Sean Connery was kind of brutal and pragmatic, and Connery was kind of tired but still debonair, the way Britain was back then. So I think, since we're sort of ignorant and small-minded now, how about Lawrence Fox?
Oh, God.
Give it to him.
Yeah.
Or, so that's the mean answer, I reckon Matthew Rhys.
Oh, yeah.
Who was Ewan Griffith's, by the way, it's Ewan Griffith, we're not going through this.
No, we don't do that again.
Was his housemate years ago in Cardiff.
Was he?
Yeah. So, but Matthew Rhys, I think, he's got a quality. He might be too old now to be starting it.
Yeah, he's married to that, what's her name? Kerry Russell.
Yeah.
Did all right, isn't he?
He has done all right.
For a Welsh lad.
Yeah, for a Welsh lad.
Yeah.
We can all... get a Kerry Russell.
Can you?
Yeah.
Why don't you get one?
I've got loads.
Have you? In Port Talbot?
I keep them around the place.
Locked up somewhere.
They've got their own cottages. Hey, I got through the whole thing without having to do Zippy and George.
Ah, good. Why don't you do Zippy and George?
No.
Is that Zippy?
No.
Oh.
I did picture Godfrey, Sir Tibbet and Bond as... George and Zippy go, I'll make sure that the tape's on. Don't yell at me again. I've carried all your things up the stairs. Oh, you oaf. That would be that.
That's good.
Thanks.
I can't think of a better way to end.
Goodbye.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming back.
It's a pleasure as always.
Yeah. Join us next time when we do a better film again, maybe.
Yeah, let's start doing things for fun.
Let's start doing good films.
At this point in our lives.
Let's make this a tradition. Goodbye.
Great Big Owl.